Down to business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. We understand business. Choose the bank that's here to help you rise to today's business challenges and tomorrow's.
Now, speaking to many entrepreneurs on this show, they often say that times of crisis provide the best opportunity for innovation and opportunity. Does this apply to the economy as a whole? Writing recently in the Sunday Times, Cormac Lucy suggested that now would be a good time to get rid of what he termed zombie firms. Good morning, Cormac Lucy. How are you?
Hi, Bobby. Very good, thanks.
Good to talk to you, Cormac. Your piece in the Sunday Times basically talked about, you know, two centuries of growth. The average was 2%, but basically about, you know, competition being a key element of the economic motor that has driven the 2% over the 200 years. But you also mentioned something called creative destruction. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, well, I suppose we can't grow personally or in economically if we do things exactly the same tomorrow as we did them yesterday. So we have to do some new things tomorrow and stop doing some old things. And what creative destruction is about, it's about facing up to the fact that there are going to be losers in this process. There will be destruction. That is going to be painful for the companies, the activities and the people involved. But if we avoid creative destruction, if we force all of our efforts on preserving everything as it is, we're going to do that at the expense of growth and at the expense of our long-term economic performance going forward.
And is it not very difficult for governments, given their sort of blunderbust approach, which is all they really can do in relation to supporting, you know, certain sectors within business, that we end up, they end up spending taxpayers' money supporting businesses that are probably ultimately going to fail?
That's the danger. There's an American political philosopher, Thomas Sowell, and he said that the first law of economics is that there are scarce resources, but that the first law of politics is to ignore the first law of economics. So in a sense, that the political imperative is focused on one man, one person, one vote. And it is addressed to largely to preserving things as they are more than to innovation. I mean, politicians and governments seldom innovate. That's really the entrepreneurial function. And the danger is if we shift society and shift society's resources too much to political goals, it may come at the expense of entrepreneurial activity and of the economic growth of tomorrow. And if you look, say, at one topic that has got very little coverage in Ireland, there's a lot of justifiable pride in the success of the Collison brothers with Stripe. And one of them recently bought Abbey Leake's house, and that's great. That means that house is going to be well looked after. But is it not very, very disappointing for a country that spends so much energy and state money promoting enterprise that those two young men decided to set up their business in the United States? And what does that say about Ireland's the genuine, as opposed to the rhetorical, commitment we have in Ireland to promoting entrepreneurship?
You also say that, you know, there's different categories. If we look at, you know, restaurants, we look at the corporate travel, we look at city centres where businesses are located, they're all probably going to be losers, but there'll be winners and losers. So it can actually be almost sector by sector, can't it? That the, you know, that the creative destruction might happen in one sector, but you'll get people in that sector moving to other sectors.
And not only can it be different between sectors, Bobby, it can be different within a sector.
Yeah.
If you look at Ryanair, it primarily caters to families and individuals and tourists, whereas BA, Aer Lingus and Iberia, which are all owned by the one company, they focus much more on business travel. And the Ryanair share price, about a year ago, was roughly halved. And in the meantime, it's more than doubled. So it's now higher than it was pre-pandemic. Whereas the IAG share price, the BA Aer Lingus Group company, its share price more than halved. And it's still roughly down there because financial markets are not expecting to see a big return of business travel, which is what those airlines depend on, whereas it is envisaging a big bounce back in consumer tourist travel, which would be a benefit to Ryanair.
And we talked about this earlier on the programme, Cormac, and again, I think Ryanair are back to nearly 60% of their numbers, whereas Aer Lingus, the AIG businesses, have a much longer way to go. You also said in the piece that caught my attention that, you know, greater inequality today promotes higher living standards of tomorrow. And this is, again, an interesting dichotomy in that, you know, things have to sort of get bad before they get better.
Well, if we were all given equal money at the start of our lives, we would not all end up with equal money at the end of our lives, because we have different talents, we make different choices. You know, Roy Keane was a spectacularly successful footballer. I might dream of being that, but I just don't have the skill level to do it. So if we give people equal chances, they're not going to avail of them equally, because they're starting with different levels of ability, with different levels of commitment, and they may just get the bounce of the ball that works their way. You know, the way that the Lions beat South Africa last Saturday, they were partly helped by good fortune. So the point I'm making is, if we look back 200 years, you know, I was making the point that productivity per person has grown at roughly 2% per annum over the last 200 years. And what that means is we can enjoy living standards today seven times the level of our forefathers and foremothers 100 years ago. And I made the point that probably the richest man on the planet 200 years ago was the British monarch, George IV. But he spent his last 10 years in agony because of medical illnesses that would be easily treated today. And that the range of travel, the range of medical care available to even the poorest person in Ireland today exceeds what George IV had available 200 years ago. So even though there was terrible, brutal inequality then, that was before we had to endure an absolutely savage famine, today we're just way beyond famine Ireland, because this productivity growth has happened.
Okay.
Because creative destruction has been allowed work its magic.
All right. Well, it's a fascinating topic, and one we'll return to. Cormac Lucy, as ever, brilliant analysis, and really appreciate your input into the subject of creative destruction. We'll talk to you again soon, Cormac, and thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Bobby.